The IBS surprise. Mast cells not the main culprit. And introducing the Nociplastic Disease Club. ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, IBS, long COVID, etc. By Court Johnson, August 9th, 2024. Health Rising hasn't published much on irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS, and that's a shame. Not only is it present in chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, but IBS is part of a family of disorders that also includes chronic pelvic pain, interstitial cystitis, migraine, chronic low back pain, and many autoimmune diseases. In each of these disorders, researchers have been unable to find a physical cause for the pain. For instance, despite all the bloating and pain found in the guts of people with IBS, the intestines look just fine. In fibromyalgia, no one has been able to come up with enough evidence of damage to the muscles to explain the pain found in FM. Likewise, the intense pain in migraine isn't associated with physical damage. Diseases like these, for which clear physical causes haven't been found, and which also cause other symptoms, such as poor sleep, fatigue, cognitive issues, and mood problems, have come to be called nociplastic disorders, and are primarily believed to be central nervous system disorders. They also include a significant subset of people with disorders like rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, and other autoimmune disorders where pain in the joints spreads beyond, producing widespread pain and other symptoms. With their similar symptom presentation, ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID are all considered part of the nociplastic family of disorders. And that's a good thing. The more diseases and the more people sharing them, the more attention they will get. Breakthroughs in any of these disorders could apply to the others, and that brings us to irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS. IBS is a complicated disease. Three types of it exist, and it's embedded in a complex physical environment regulated by millions of bacteria. In a presentation last year, Laura Pace, a neurogastroenterologist, threw cold water on the diagnosis of IBS and small intestinal bowel overgrowth, stating that the diagnostics are so crude that they tell us little about what's going on in the gut. She asserted that only detailed analysis of the gut tissues are going to tell us what's going on in IBS. Researchers have been digging deeper into the gut tissues and are making progress, and that leads us to a set of studies that have come out of Germany for over 10 years. How deep have IBS researchers gone? For over 15 years, they've been taking biopsies of the colon and then spinning them in a centrifuge to separate the liquid, or supernatant. Then they expose gut neurons to the supernatant and watch as, bang, the neurons go off like rockets, spewing out electrical signals that produce pain and other symptoms. Further analysis found that while serotonin and histamine stimulate the nerves, the major players are enzymes called proteases that break down proteins. The mast cell mystery. The role mast cells play in IBS has been unclear. Some studies suggest they play a role and some that they don't. During her presentation, Pace remarked on a study finding that eosinophils in particular and T cells infiltrating the gut lining were causing the most problems in IBS. It's not that mast cells aren't having an impact. Activated mast cells found near nerve fibers could be having a big impact on symptoms. Interestingly, Pace believed that histamine-containing foods have, at most, a local impact and don't produce the systemic effects found in these diseases. She employs mast cell stabilizers, H2 blocker, 3 times a day, and oral cromolyn, 4 times a day, slowly titrated up, and or quercetin with her patients. Still, while mast cell inhibitors can help, they don't always provide relief or don't provide total relief. We either need better mast cell inhibitors or some other cells are involved. The study. The present study aimed to provide insights into the mast cell question by comparing mast cell density and histamine levels in people with IBS-D, D being diarrhea. People with a systemic mast cell disease called mastocytosis, and healthy controls. In gut-associated mastocytosis D, high levels of mast cells build up in the gut. When they dump their loads, increased fluid levels and peristalsis, gut muscle activity and rapid motility, result in vomiting and diarrhea, apparently to get rid of the excess fluid. The small study, less than 32 participants, also expanded past gut findings by determining if nerve activation in more parts of the guts, small and large intestine, is involved. Results: gut-wide problem. Even though all the IBS-D and mastocytosis patients experienced the same symptoms, such as bloating, diarrhea, abdominal pain, only the supernatant from the gut biopsies of the IBS patients sent the gut nerves through the roof. The supernatant from mastocytosis patients activated some gut neurons, but to a much lesser degree, and the researchers concluded that they responded similarly to the healthy controls. Since the supernatant from both parts of the gut from the IBS-D patients activated the gut nerves, the authors concluded that IBS-D was caused by a, quote, general phenomena found throughout the gut, end quote. Mast cells take second billing. They did not find increased numbers of mast cells in the biopsies of the IBS-D patients, nor did they find any evidence of increased mast cell degranulation or histamine levels. They concluded that mast cells are not involved in nerve activation, at least not in the patient groups enrolled in this study, and that, as their past studies have suggested, proteases produced by immune or epithelial cells are the main culprit in IBS. While factors like histamine from mast cells and serotonin play a role in IBS, it's the proteases that appear to set them off. How to explain, then, the fact that mast cell stabilizers can help in IBS? They couldn't, except to note that mast cells may be nestled so closely next to nerves that even small, undetectable to them, amounts of mast cell activation could set them off. Note that some studies have implicated mast cell activation in IBS as well. The situation is complicated, and factors other than mast cells must also play a role in IBS. Prior studies have teased out the nerve connection in IBS. The nerve activation in the gut activates vagal nerves situated outside the spinal cord in the dorsal root ganglia, or DRG. The DRG is a central gathering place where sensory signals get sent to the central nervous system, and DRB activation is found in fibromyalgia. From there, the central nervous system activation spreads to cause symptoms like widespread pain, fatigue, sleep, cognitive, and mood problems. The authors stated that protease finding helps explain one of the strangest findings in the field. Instead of becoming more tweaked when the nerves in IBS biopsies were repeatedly exposed to a cocktail of IBS-activating factors like histamine, serotonin, tryptase, and TNFA, they became less activated. They had become desensitized. The authors of that paper proposed that a protective mechanism was trying to shut the nerves down. Proteases can do this. IBS is a complicated disease, but it's become clear that protease-driven protein breakdown in the gut is helping to set it off, and that provides an opportunity. One review called protease inhibition one of the most promising novel therapeutic strategies to explore in IBS, but warned that more work is needed to identify the specific proteases involved. Because proteases are produced by the bacteria and other substances in our gut, altering our gut flora could conceivably reduce the proteolytic activity that is turning on the gut nerves. Another review suggested that next-generation probiotics will be able to turn down this activity and help return the gut to normal functioning. A fecal transplant study using stool from a donor with low proteolytic activity and containing the bacteria Elistopes putrinidis is underway to see if the stool can dampen the high levels of proteolytic activity found in IBS and provide relief. A serine protease inhibitor called nafomostat reduced the gut pain in a rat model of IBS. Another approach is to increase the levels of endogenous opioids in the gut to relieve pain. Back to nociplastic disease. Because researchers have had trouble finding clear evidence of pathological problems in the tissues, in pain, the gut, muscles, etc., and because of the widespread symptoms, pain, fatigue, cognitive and mood problems, the prevailing thesis is that these diseases are primarily central nervous system directed. This present study suggests IBS is a nervous system disease as well, but one where the problem starts in an abnormal activation of the gut neurons, which took some deep digging to uncover. No wonder it's been such a mystery. A recent interview with chronic pain researcher Daniel Klaw, coming up, suggested that these nociplastic diseases may often begin in a difficult-to-detect activation of the peripheral nerves that progresses to a central nervous system problem. He believes that a different kind of inflammation, called neurogenic or nerve-associated inflammation, is in play. Something similar may have shown up recently when fibromyalgia researchers found that immune cells called neutrophils, taken from fibromyalgia patients, attacked the sensory nerves in fibromyalgia mice. That suggests a different and hard-to-detect kind of inflammation affecting the sensory nerves, in particular, present in these mysterious diseases. The starting point in nociplastic diseases like ME/CFS and long COVID is less clear, as no specific tissues appear to be affected, i.e., they seem more like, at least from this vantage point, purely central nervous system disorders. How nerve activation in the gut turns into a nociplastic disease featuring widespread pain, fatigue, sleep problems, etc., remains a mystery, but finding a starting point, nerve activation in the gut, should help. Progress is being made in understanding what's going on in nociplastic disorders, and that will be explored in future blogs. For now, it's good to know that ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID belong to a larger category of nociplastic diseases. A breakthrough in one could benefit all. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. You can give a one-time donation at the link in the text version of the article.